Long time no see, Flames fans, and welcome to a very special spring-ish edition of the A Sea of Red Football Podcast. I am joined by some amazing people. To my left, to my right, I'm pointing to my left, is the man who has this whole thing up and running. He is the smartest person in any room he walks in when we're talking Liberty Athletics. He is John Manson. John, how we living this Tuesday night?
Man, back like we never left on here on the podcast, and good to see you guys. Got to see you, Richie, not too long ago here in Lynchburg. Got some baseball games in, and it was nice to see you. And CT unable to make the trip down, but good to see you as well, my friend.
Of course. To my left, whichever direction, is CT Christian Taylor. Normally, cashing tickets for us during football season. CT, recent move out to Baltimore. How's everything going?
Yeah, I mean, avoiding any bridge jokes for the time being, but yeah, we're doing really good. So glad to be here. It's awesome just to see the updates for all of Liberty Athletics right now. I'm excited to get into it with y'all.
Yeah, it has been a crazy few months. I think the last time we got together to do this show was the day after Caden came back, a couple days after. And you know, ever since then, we've gone through basketball season, started off baseball, softball season. We had the LTBC disappear and then come back. And now we are approaching championship season for the spring sports. And we're going to try to get to as much stuff as we can today. And I think the first thing we're going to talk about, because we are the Sea of Red Football Podcast, is football. And spring practice was definitely earlier than normal, earlier than a lot of other schools around the country, but seems to be like things are going well. I was not at the spring game, so I was luckily able to read John's coverage on the website, all that stuff. But John, for someone who might have not been paying a ton of attention, and I was one of those fans once that I just kind of spring game, great. Give us an update. How did things look spring ball into the spring game? Obviously a lot different from last year at this time.
Yeah, there was a lot of spring games going on around the country this past weekend, and it kind of felt weird. We've been done for 6 weeks, I think it's been. I mean, it's been a while. I think it was March 2nd, and we had our spring game. It was kind of unique because that was right at the tail end of or really in the heart of college basketball season for the Flames. But everything seems like it's gone well. I think Coach Chavo, we talked about it while practice was going on. He likes to do it early, get it done early, so we can keep it moving. And if there's any injuries, hopefully those guys can recover and be back by the start of training camp and the start of the season. But starting with a guy like Caden Salter as your quarterback, as your leader at that position, that's something we haven't had for the last couple of years. I mean, a year ago now, we were, is it going to be JB? Is it going to be Caden? Is it going to be Trey Lowe? We even thought it might have been him a little bit back in the spring last year. And obviously, also not just that, but I guess we should also touch on, Coach Chavo and his staff. This is going into their second season with this group and this team. So they know the players, they know, who they're going to be. It was also a new conference last year we were going into. So it was a lot of unknown last year. This year, there's a lot of known. We know a lot. There are still some question marks. We'll get into that more, I guess, here in a few minutes. But we know a lot more today, April 23rd, late April, than we did last April. CT, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's much more consistent as a whole. I mean, given the nature of literally the entire coaching staff turning over and all that entails, we don't have that this year. And so that naturally does lend itself to it. And then we were able to, in the wider world of college football and all the different happenings with the transfer portal and everything, of course, we dealt with that. But we did stay relatively steady despite that. And I mean, that shout out to Flames Rising and everything else that entails. But yeah, it's really nice just to know there is a baseline in terms of what we have returning, and that's just a really good feeling going into the summer and then the season.
Yeah, and obviously things are, as you said, a little more consistent, a lot more questions answered this year than last year, but we don't have all the answers yet. There's not a team in the country where they're like, yep, here's our 22. We'll see you in August. Portal, very lucky Liberty to not lose a bunch of players. I know when you look at other teams that have had success at the G5 level, a lot of times they get gutted. You look at a team like Colorado, they're turning over completely. How would you say Liberty has done compared to some of the other, you know, powerhouse G5 teams in the country, John?
Well, I mean, you know, look at our friends just up the road here in Harrisonburg at JMU. I mean, their entire athletic department's been gutted, right? I mean, they're having to hire a new AD, a new football coach, new men's basketball coach. A lot of losses they had in the portal, both in football and basketball. So, and you know, they obviously had a really good season in both sports. And but they're going to have a lot of questions going into the season. And for Liberty, you know, it's also easy to forget that it wasn't that long ago we were talking about, is Chadwell going to be coming back? You know, his name was being mentioned and people were getting nervous late in the season back in 2023. Is he going to come back? And, you know, he's obviously quieted those whispers at this point in time. And you know, to keep him, to keep Caden, kind of like I alluded to in the opening, those were huge building blocks. If you're able to keep those two guys, your quarterback and your head coach, you can build off of that. And it was something I said a few years back when we had Malik, is if you go into the game with the best head coach and the best quarterback in the game, you're going to have a chance to win every single night. And I think we'll have that opportunity this coming season with Caden and Coach Chadwell. But the only loss that still kind of stings a little bit right now is CJ Daniels at receiver. I don't think we've been able to find the replacement for him yet through the portal. There's a few guys that I think could take some of that production he had last year. But, you know, kudos to him to be able to go to a place like LSU, wide receiver U, really. A lot of big name talent they've developed there. And I hope he kills it there. I hope he you know is a first team all SEC guy and a first round draft pick this time next year. I would not want nothing less than that for him. But that is one position of, you know, that's probably the one position. There's others. Offensive line is one, but wide receiver is the one position that I'm a little concerned about going into the summer.
Yeah, and there's never going to be, like I said earlier, there's never going to be that complete same roster, same everything. For those who don't know, John does an incredible job highlighting all of the positions. I remember reading it for the last 10 years following A Sea of Red, and it really is one of the best breakdowns of the roster. Gives you some names, especially with transfer players coming in. Give you some insight. So CT, we got a season in the books. What are your thoughts going into this fall? It's kind of hard to temper those expectations with everything that's just happened in the last 12 months, but what are you looking for? And what are some of those way too early expectations as we get into September?
Yeah. I mean, as you said, it's tough to temper them, but I think it's good to try to temper them now, because if not, by the time we get to August, if you're not tempered now, then who knows where you're going to be then. So if we're going to talk about it in terms of, John, yes, you mentioned we lost CJ. We did lose a couple other guys at the portal. So there are some question marks, but we do have that baseline where, again, as you said, we have the best head coach, best quarterback in basically every game that we play. And so if that's the case, and if barring any injuries, God forbid, or anything else, then, I mean, I think we should have that mindset of we can win every game that we play. Will we? Tough to say, but we can win. There's always trap games, always everything else. But tempered expectation would be, you know what, I would love to be able to win 10 games again, win double digits again. And then I think that's very realistic, I would say. Beyond that, then we're talking about repeating conference championship, Now we're looking at the college football playoff that now that it's expanded and those kind of things. We could ramp up from there, but for the tempered end of April expectation, I'd say let's get to double-digit wins again.
Yeah, and I'm very interested, and John, you and I have talked about this before. I'm not sure how our fan base is going to react to a potential loss. Like Oregon was, a different type of game, different type of experience, but like most teams lose a game during the season, and I don't know how that's going to go. Looking at the schedule, John, if there were to be a slip up, what are your thoughts? Where could you see something like that happening?
Well, it's funny because I saw Coach Chadwell not too long ago, ran into him at one of the baseball games you were at. And, it was funny because I mentioned to him, I said, Coach, I don't even know how you respond or react to a loss or what you're like in a post-game press conference following a loss. Yeah, we did have the Oregon game, but like you mentioned, I mean, that was an aberration. I mean, it's just, we were happy to be there type thing. Remember, mm-hmm. So that was a little bit different. But yeah, I mean, we haven't really experienced that with this coaching staff. This fan base hasn't really experienced that in a long time. I mean, not since Hugh Freeze was the head coach and we had that breakup, that kind of, that season at the end of 2022 kind of dovetailed. But yeah, I mean, I think the schedule, it's not going to be a gauntlet of a schedule. A lot of people talked last year, that was the talk, right? Especially as we were going into the Fiesta Bowl, is how bad our schedule was, the worst in the country. I don't think we're going to be that again. I don't think we're going to be I don't know how many FBS teams there are anymore, 133 or whatever.
132, yeah.
Somewhere around in there. I don't think we're going to be 133 of 133. We could be in the 100s, though, 100, 110, somewhere like that. I wouldn't be shocked. But, obviously App State, that's the game that jumps off the page. At App State in September, we know the tradition that they have. And if you're a newer fan and you don't remember that last time Liberty played at App State, that was a classic game. Go back and, mm-hmm. and watch that, some replays on YouTube or something and highlights. It was a great game. Liberty won that in overtime, I believe, if I remember correctly. Liberty was still an FCS team and App State, I think their first year or just a transitioning FBS member then. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the easy one to look to. I think that's a game that, App State could be a Sun Belt favorite, especially with all the question marks at JMU in Harrisonburg, that, that could be a CFP, spot on the line type game if the season plays out like a lot of us think. That's obviously number one. I think the other game that I'll touch on, and I'll leave some for you guys to discuss, but East Carolina, I know they were, 2-10 last year? A lot of people are going to look at that and be like, oh, this should be an easy win. 2-10 against a 13-0, 13-1 Liberty, it should be an easy win. But they're in the AAC. The AAC is a well-respected conference. East Carolina is a well-respected brand and name in this region at the G5 level. They've got some talent. I'd expect them to be better than they were in 2023 this coming fall. It's at home, which is a good thing. I think we'll be favored in that game. I think we should win that game. But I don't think it's one that we can just say, oh, yeah, that's a win. Let's just write that down and keep on moving.
And they're a team that they really hit the transfer portal hard. They really gutted everything. They brought in some players from the Power 5 level. So I'm in the same boat as you, John. That is not an automatic win. I'm very much looking forward to getting some challenging games kind of on the schedule early in the season. CT, we've seen on Twitter, the team looks like they're having a bunch of fun. There's stuff going on both in the locker room, outside of the locker room, in the gym, outside of the gym. How do you think that is going to help the team kind of coming off of that, landmark season last year? And if you had to pick one of those events that the football team has been doing, what would it be?
And it does look like they're having an absolute blast this offseason, which I think is really good. I mean, no matter how much as a fan base in that Fiesta Bowl, it was walking out of it like, we're just happy that we're here kind of thing. I'm sure for morale of players, there still could be damper after a damper on their morale after a game like that and just how it did turn out. So I think just having this off season, just to reset, continue to build those bonds is really massive, honestly. And it looks like the coaching staff has handled it incredible. I would expect nothing less from them. And it looks like they're delivering time and time again. I got to be honest, that video yesterday from the pool with head coach Chad Well doing the belly flop, that was fantastic. So, yeah, there was the fire truck pull and all those kind of things. But, yeah, that the time at the pool yesterday and especially that belly flop was A+. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, so, John, you mentioned wide receiver. And I'm with you, CT. I'm a sucker for a good belly flop competition. You get me on a cruise – couple race days, it's belly flop time. John, you mentioned wide receiver and said, yes, CJ Daniels gone. A couple players are going to have to step up. Similar to in the position we were in last year, it was a question of need. Offensive line, shout out my main man, Turtle, Boondocks representing. Asked about the O-line, losing Brendan, X going to the NFL. What is that going to look like, you think, moving forward?
Yeah, I think that's another, and I'm glad you brought that up, Richie, and I'm glad our guy Turtle brought it up as well, too. That was another position I kind of wanted to touch on. Yes, I think wide receiver is the number one need right now in the portal. I think offensive line is another position, not necessarily of need, but it's a little bit of a question there. I do think there are some guys returning that will be okay. I mean, you look at Jordan White at center. He's kind of the anchor of that line, all-conference performer. You also got a guy like Chase Mitchell. You know, he would play left tackle mostly last year. They used him at left guard most of this spring. Hopefully he's able to solidify that spot. If he is, that kind of helps us fill out the rest of the line, because I think if he's at left guard, Jack Tucker will slide in at left tackle. Jack Tucker was kind of like your sixth starter last year, your sixth man, if you will. So Texas Tech transfer a year ago. So he's got some, you know, power five type experience. But if he can slide in there at left tackle, then you got that left side of the line straight. And then you're probably looking at Harrison Hayes. He's a younger guy. He's been in the system for about 3 years now, probably going on year four, but he hasn't played a ton. And the previous coaching staff spoke highly about Harrison Hayes and his potential. And he might slide into that starting right guard spot, left vacated by X. So yes, we will miss him. We'll miss his leadership as well too. You also got Xavier Gray at right tackle returning. Returning starter, and I saw him at the at pro day back at the end of spring ball, and he just looks good. Like he's lost some weight, he's slimmed down. He's what, 6'9"? I mean, we could use him on the basketball court, which we'll talk about that the portal adds here in a little while. But I mean, he looks good just from a physical perspective, and I'm excited to see how that'll translate into his production this season. But there are some question marks at offensive line. I think we could use another guy in the portal. We did pick up a couple guys, a junior college transfer. I think he'll add some depth. And then we got another one from Louisville, another transfer that came in, John Paul Flores, I think is his name. You know, another depth piece. But if we could get one more that's a startable offensive lineman, then that'll help bolster that group, because I am a little concerned about the depth there. But again, I still think with what we got, even if we don't get anybody in the portal, which Coach Chadwell I know is hunting right now, and he's gonna, you know, he's a big game hunter, so he's gonna come down with something. But you know, even if we don't add anybody at offensive line, I feel good enough that you know, this was the number one rushing offense in all of the country last year. We have enough pieces back at running back, at quarterback, the rest of the offense, and an offensive line that I think will be okay. But offensive line is a question mark there.
So last question, John, before we get into ad basketball chatter. Also, shout out to anyone who is tuning in right now. Make sure you like, subscribe, especially on YouTube. Give us a subscription on YouTube. Click that subscribe button. We're getting close to 1,000, which I'm told is important. That's a big number to be at. So we're going to try to get to 1,000 by football season. So much appreciated. We are so grateful that you are here, whether it's now or listening later on. But John, walk us through what the rest of the calendar year looks like leading up to opening weekend against Campbell. When does the portal close? When does the portal open up again? When does summer camp start? All of that information. Walk us through. What do we have to look forward to moving forward?
Yeah, so spring practice obviously is in the rear view for us and most teams around the country. We're right in the heart of the portal window, the spring portal window. So Liberty's trying to – I'm hearing good things, nothing specific that can be reported at this point in time, but some big type names that are potentially visiting here in the next few weeks. So looking forward to seeing who those names are and who we end up getting. I think we'll get a few pieces just to continue to add to the talent level and the depth on this team. So that's something we'll be paying attention to the next, you know, month or so. As the kids are kind of wrapping up school for the semester, some of them graduating, finishing that up, they'll be able to go home for a break for a few weeks, and then come back in June and start in earnest for preparation for the fall. You know, they do some summer workouts that most of the team will pretty much be here, and then you know, they're voluntary workouts. So you know, the coaching staff's not able to participate in those, just the strength staff. But yeah, they'll be here then, and then, you know, training camp we'll get started normally around the start of August, maybe late July. I know the season starts a little bit earlier this year. The first game is late August against Campbell. So once we get into to July, I mean, it's just a matter of days before we start practicing and before we start getting into some press conference leading up to the season opener, and it'll be here before you know it.
At that point, it'll be we'll start getting the gifts from the belt himself, Jeremiah Flinchum, counting down the days until football season.
Don't get me started on Mr. Jerry, who showed up to two baseball games and the belt was nowhere to be seen. Yeah. I asked him where it's at. Oh, it's in my car. Well, go get it.
We welcome him into the suite. There's children. They want to see the belt, and there's no belt. Jerry brings no belt. Why win the belt if you can't bring the belt? But it is what it is, and we love Jerry. He was one of a bunch of people that I got to see when I was down last weekend, and it was always a good time to get down there and watch a little baseball. But we are going to kick things over. We have an ad. I don't know which ad John's going to play, so I'll save my little spiel until after he plays the ad. So hit it.
Virginia's best and most plants-friendly coffee comes from Ironclad Coffee Roasters. Ironclad Roasting serves up their beautiful beans at two cafes in Richmond, where you can enjoy their craft roasted specialty beans anywhere in the country by visiting www.ironcladcoffee.com. Place your order there, and it will be directly shipped to your doorstep. Whenever you find yourself in the capital of the Commonwealth, pay them a visit at one of the two cafes in the Richmond area. Ironclad's owners, the O'Rourke family, are proud Flames Club members and season ticket holders, and now they're pleased to sponsor the podcast from CRA. Hop over to www.ironcladcoffee.com now to get your Virginia's best specialty coffee headed your way.
I've said it once, I've said it a million times. I've had one type of coffee in the last 10 years. I don't drink Starbucks. I don't drink Dunkin'. I don't Keurig. I don't do that stuff. I drink Ironclad coffee on game day. Automatic. Do you know what Liberty's record is, CT? When I drink Ironclad coffee on game day?
Not sure about the wins, but I know there's a zero in the loss column.
Zero. So if you're not drinking Ironclad coffee on game day, not just football game day, baseball game day, tennis game day, golf day game day, just about every day is a Liberty Athletics game day, which means you need to be starting your morning off with Ironclad coffee. Now, we'll talk about the elephant in the room. Basketball did not end the way we wanted it to. There were a lot of questions, a lot of unknowns. And to be honest, I was a little worried. I didn't know how this offseason was going to look. But shout out to head coach Richie McKay. He hit that portal, and he hit it pretty darn hard. Brought in we're up to four players now, John?
Five.
Five? I think someone today, right?
No, he announced over the weekend, but yeah, we're up to five.
Up to five players. Fill us in a little bit, John. That's a starting lineup right there. So give us the breakdown. Who's gone? Who's coming in? A little bit of a quick Spark Notes a version for some of us.
Yeah, so we know Kyle Rode and Shiloh Robinson, their eligibility has been exhausted, so they're gone. Speaking of Kyle Rode, he was in the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament this past weekend and looked like he did well there as he begins his pro career. Then also had a couple go into the portal, or a few go into the portal. Jalen Davis, a walk-on, a guard from Kentucky, did not play redshirt this past year. And then Brody Peebles and Joseph VanZant. VanZant actually just committed to Abilene Christian today. So back in his home state of Texas, I know he'd be glad to be back closer to family. But so that's who's leaving. And then coming in, you got two freshmen that signed back in November. Brett Decker, a 6'2" point guard out of Kentucky, and then Will Gibson, a 6'6", 6'7", forward, kind of in the, you know, Zach Cleveland type mold, a ball handler, can be a ball dominant forward if needed. I would expect both of those guys to redshirt unless they come in and set the world on fire during the summer and leading up to the season. Then Coach McKay and his staff, they rolled up their sleeves and went to work since the season finished mid March. So it's only been about 5 weeks or so since the season finished, and they've been very busy and brought in Taylen Peter, 6'4" guard transfer from Division II Arkansas Tech, I believe it is, a guy that it kind of reminds me, I've said this before, he kind of reminds me of our Brody Peebles, just more athletic, longer. He shot over 40% from three last year in the Division II ranks, averaged, I think it was 18 points a game. He can also attack the basket. You see some of his highlights where he's throwing it down. So it'd be nice to have that at the guard position. Javon Moffmer, I believe is how you say his name, from Cedarville, Division II transfer as well. Both him and Peter, conference players of the year in their respective conferences. I don't know if we've ever had a conference player of the year transfer into Liberty from a Division II program. So we got two coming in this year. He's 6'6", a wing, similar type game, I would say, to that of Anthony Smith, those that have been around for a little while. He's a scoring forward. Can play on the wing, can longer. I mean, we did not have a 6'6 wing player last year. he's kind of taken the place, if you will, of Joseph VanZant, who was only 6'3", and was limited offensively. No disrespect to VanZant, but his calling card's on the defensive end. So then brought in three forwards: Owen Aquino from Aquino, maybe how you say it. Originally from Spain, but he's coming from JUCO ranks, got 2 years of eligibility remaining. Another similar type game to that of Zach Cleveland, but I think he can step out and shoot the three a little bit more than Zach can. Then two other bigs, Josh Smith, 6'9", Stetson transfer, and then Isaiah Innan, I believe is how you say his name, from Minnesota, played in the Big Ten the last few years. He should have 2 years of eligibility remaining. He missed 2 years due to injury, and he was back this year for Minnesota. Was a reserve player, spot starter. Smith's start was pretty much a full-time starter. Did battle through some injuries this past year a little bit. But so that's kind of real quick overview of who's exiting and who's coming in.
Yeah. So CT, I know you are not just a fan of Liberty basketball. You're a fan of college basketball across the nation. Talk to some of our fans that might not have that same experience nationwide. How important is the transfer portal in basketball in today's day and age?
It's absolutely vital in today's day and age. It's something you can go the route of developing your program just through the high school ranks every year and stuff. But ultimately what's going to happen is you're going to lose guys to the portal. It's just how it goes, especially with the money involved and everything else. And I honestly, if we're being candid, we've seen kind of how it goes when you lose guys to the portal, but you're just filling them in with more high school players. At a certain point, you're going to have to rely on freshmen that aren't ready yet or various circumstances. So it's absolutely vital that no matter how you feel about it or anything, that it's just how it is in this day and age and that you have to go and attack it. And Coach McKay absolutely did. And I think the thing that's really great is really the variety in terms of the guys that we got. So, and we have a couple guys, the D2 conference players of the year. We have a Power 5 guy. We have a guy from Stetson who started basically every game. We have a JUCO guy. So I think just that variety of experience that we got really just shows that the work and effort that the coaching staff put in. They didn't just lock in on one area. They really took the time to look everywhere. And I think just that variance and experience will be massive for the team as a whole come basketball season.
I think Chad had a really good question here in the chat. Which of the two remaining redshirt players gets the most minutes this year? He's speaking of Kai Yu, the 7-footer from China, and Curtis Blair, 6'5", 6'6", wing from the Richmond, Virginia area. That obviously both redshirt this past season. It'll be interesting to see. I think Kai Yu, I got mixed reviews on last year. I mean, early in the year, it was like, oh, he's a project. We'll see what happens. Then you get into the spring and late in the year, and it's like, oh, okay, I think he's starting to turn a corner. So I don't know what to expect out of him. I think he probably is the most likely to get some run, just because, I mean, you got a 7-footer, you got to see what he's got, right? Put him out there and give him a shot. I mean, if he can play, 10 minutes a game, give us 5 fouls, and just clog up the lane on defense, that's huge. Just stand
here like this.
Exactly.
We saw
what Zach Edey did for Purdue. I know that's touching a special place there in your heart, Richie, but we saw what he just did in March for the Boilermakers, and then also UConn's big man, what was his name? Anyways, 2 7-footers in the championship game going against each other. So you see what that size can do for you. So I think he has a chance. Curtis Blair, he's a guy that I think the coaching staff would like to get a longer look at him, see if he can adjust his game, because you can't teach that length on the wing, similar to Javon coming in from Cedarville, 6'6", and could be a 3-and-D type player. So we'll have to see. But I would say Kai Yu is probably the most likely of those two redshirts to get a chance. They'll both get a chance this season, but I'm excited to see if he can be included. Because if he can be included in that mix of the posts this year, not only are we that much deeper, but maybe our height becomes a strength all of a sudden. Our length becomes a strength if you got a 7-footer that can get you, 10 minutes a game.
Which is the opposite of what it was last year, being one of the smallest teams in the NCAA. I do want to point out what JVP just mentioned about the Division II players. It's a weird time for college athletics with the COVID year and extra years and stuff like that, where players that probably would have been Division I players, they didn't have a spot. You had 24-year-old kids still in college, which means those seniors in high school that would have gone D1 any other year, they didn't have a spot, so they had to go Division II. So it makes total sense that those big schools are looking at those D2 players, because they'd probably be mid-major, low major players any other year. So excited about that. Schedule release, when's that normally happen for basketball?
Oh, that's not till mid to late summer. We're still a little ways out. They did come out with the Grand Cayman Classic, I think, is what they're going to be in. And McNeese State, one of the names in there, they're Will Wade's their head coach. They were one of the top mid-major programs this past year. And I forget, it's on the website. Was Kansas State? I think Kansas State was one of the names too. I think 6 names have been announced so far, and Liberty's one of those. That should be a good 3-game tournament for the Flames in November. So if you want to bypass the Western Kentucky home football game, the regular season finale at home, until the conference championship game, then go on down to the Bahamas or wherever the tournament is and check it out.
It's always good to get a little tropical. Guys trip, I'm intrigued, Joel. We'll talk about that more later. But we have a certain amount of time left to go with y'all this evening or this morning, whenever you're checking it out. And we have one more add. Any last words, CT or John, about basketball? I think it's
exciting. I'll just add in really, really, really quickly. We've seen a few comments about just the size and finally some size and things like that. And I think it's worth just stating how massive, no pun intended, that's going to be when it's something that, I mean, last year at any given time on the floor, like we might have had four guys 6'3" and under. I think that's fair to say. And this year, I mean, if you just look, I think there could easily be times where we may have one guy under 6'6" on the floor at a given time. So I think that is definitely really exciting to see what that'll look like for us.
Absolutely. Shout out to Coach McKay for getting things done in the portal and willing to change things up.
Yeah, Richie, before we move on, I think one thing I'll add is, yes, I am very excited about this roster. I think the roster has, on paper, the potential to compete for a conference championship in Conference USA. But at the same time, you're talking about five new transfers plus the two incoming freshmen. That's seven new players plus the two red shirts who didn't play at all last year. You basically got nine new players on the team this coming year. Really only three returners that played significant minutes: Colin Porter, Zach Cleveland, Caden Matheny. So it could, the team could get off to a slow start. I mean, I don't, you know, never want that to happen, but they could get off to a slow start. And if they do, it's okay. Give Coach McKay and the coaching staff and the team time to figure it out and stick with them, because ultimately what matters is conference play. Even look at Western Kentucky, what they did this year. I mean, I don't think any of their fans would say, oh, we had a really good year until after the Huntsville week, right? When they got hot, they were playing very good down there, won those three straight games and got into the big dance. And now they look back and say, oh, you know, we had a great year. So it's all about timing it. Make sure you're playing right in Huntsville, which if you did not go this past year, try your best to get there. It was a lot of fun watching that neutral basketball. And hopefully we got a squad that'll be there more than one game this coming year. So, but anyways, just remember that when the season ramps up October, November, just give them some patience, because it might take a little while to iron all the kinks out.
Yeah, it's a lot better to be hot in March than November. So
yeah, I could see it being the opposite of this year, you know, where we got off to a hot start. I could see it being, all right, hey, this team's going to need a little bit to find its footing. But once it does, they're going to really pick things up. So I agree, would rather have slow start, finish strong than kind of the way it was this past year. But Flames Rising ad?
Let's get it.
Flames Rising ad.
Hey, Flames Nation, this is Kyle Rode.
This is Rachel Root.
This is Kato Salter.
We would just want to say thank you for supporting athletes like us through the Flames Rising Collective.
The Flames Rising Collective is a registered 501c3, providing opportunities for student athletes to use their name, image, and likeness while serving our local community.
100% of everything contributed to the collective will go directly to creating name, image, and likeness opportunities for Liberty student athletes.
Help us be champions for Christ and champions on the field. Flames.
I just want to say shout out to Rachel Roop, softball player there in that video. My family and I went over to two of the softball games last weekend, and Friday night was one of the best softball games I've ever been to in person. I haven't been to a ton of softball games, I'll be honest, but it was probably the best one I've ever been to. She hit a 2-run home run in the bottom of the seventh, which, if you're not familiar with softball, you only play seven innings in a standard game. So she hit a 2-run home run in the bottom of the seventh to send that game into extra innings. And then in the 10th inning, I believe it was, or no, it was actually the 9th inning, she hit another home run to tie it up again. When both times we were down to our last out, she hit two home runs to tie the game, to extend the game. Lady Flames end up winning that in 10 innings. So shout out to Rachel Roop, one of our Flames Rising athletes.
Yeah. So spring sports going on right now. Already brought up softball. Where are we at? How are things looking? Conference championship, is it on the table?
Yeah, so they've got one more conference series coming up, and if they sweep that series, they're in first place right now, so they would clinch that regular season title. Probably if they win 2 out of 3, Western Kentucky is the one team to keep an eye out on. If they win 2 out of 3, they'll likely win it, the regular season title, and you know, so be pulling for that. They were playing Longwood, they were up big 7-0 tonight when I got on here, so I'm assuming they won. Rachel Roop, I think, had two more home runs tonight. So she's heating up at the right time. So they're looking good. Now, that conference tournament is in is at New Mexico State, which New Mexico State is the team that we just faced in Lynchburg, and it was 2 out of 3 we won, but two of those were come from behind. The one I talked about on Friday night, they beat us on Saturday, and then Sunday we had to come from behind and scored, I think, 3 runs in the 6th to win that game by 1 run. So that's going to be tough going there. There is a chance. I mean, last I checked, our RPI is in the 30s, maybe 36 or so. There's a chance we could get an at-large if we don't win the conference tournament, but hopefully they can take care of business and win that tournament and get back to a regional.
I just want to say, the moment when you said that the softball tournament was in New Mexico, CT and I both made the same face. It was like, what? Why? Why would they have whatever? Not my horse, not my highway. Baseball season off to a good start. Hadn't really played anyone in conference yet. Was there last week. Was a great time. Pretty good team. How are we looking?
Yeah. So I was wondering if CT was going to answer that one, but no.
I'll leave it to you.
Yeah. So so we were entering last week 9-3, first place in conference. But it's kind of interesting. I think, Richie, when you were here, I pulled up the schedule and said, in the conference standings, I said, we have played the four teams at the bottom of the standings, the four teams with the losing record in conference play. So it'll be interesting to see how we adjust to playing those top four teams, which are the four that are left on the schedule. And unfortunately, we went to Western Kentucky this past weekend and got swept. A couple of them were – I mean, they really all were close games, but two in particular, I think it was one or two game. You know, Western Kentucky had to come from behind to beat us, but we did get swept. We're now, I think it's in fourth place, depending on how you look at it, because I think it's Louisiana Tech. No, we are in fourth place, but we're a game behind FIU. And Louisiana Tech has played less games than us. They're 8-4, we're 9-6. I guess technically we're behind them. And Western Kentucky's in first place by themselves now. So still three tough series ahead. In conference play for the Flames on the diamond. They were playing Virginia tonight. I'm pretty sure we lost. We were down pretty big when I jumped on the podcast. And they're out of conference this week against Samford. Dallas Baptist is one team that's kind of like been top 25, even top 15 or so most of the season. They are in Conference USA for baseball. Baseball only member. That's the only sport I believe they play at the Division I level. But yeah, they're kind of struggling a little bit in conference play. They're 7-5 in conference, but 28-10 overall. They're likely to get an at large bid, even if they don't win the conference tournament. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Definitely a more competitive conference when you look top to bottom, compared to the way things were like in the A Sun. So it is 8:45, and John has to leave at 8:50. So we're going to wrap things up. CT, thank you for joining us today. Any last words? Anything to toss out there?
No, I mean, it was great catching up with you all, and excited just to see what continues to happen with football in the summer, basketball, as these guys get to start practicing together, and these spring sports as they wrap up. So really exciting time for all Flame sports.
Hey guys, how about we try to do this once a month throughout the summer and lead us into to football season.
Sounds I'm fantastic. All in.
Yep.
Thank you as always. Apparently we have a ton of people watching live on Twitter right now, which is awesome. Make sure you check out aseaofred.com. A lot of great articles. John's breaking things down all the time. I will toss a blog together once a month and try to be funny. A lot of great people, a lot of great information out there. Subscribe on YouTube if you can. Thank you to John and CT again for joining us. Love getting to sit and learn and chat with all y'all as well. And thank you to everyone checking us out live and in person. I will see you on Twitter. Have a great rest of your night.